We want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with Pastor Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries. Right now, let's get to Pastor Terry's insightful message.
Let me begin this way. If I could assure you, if I could absolutely assure you that this week, even though you are here in good, safe northeastern Ohio, this very week you were going to encounter a horrible, hungry, ferocious grizzly bear. And that when you encounter that bear, there are only going to be two weapons available to you when you encounter the bear. How many of the two weapons will you want to have with you when the encounter happens? Well, both, right? Right? If I could assure you that this week your home will be invaded at some point while you were there, and that the people who invade will mean you harm as well as to dissipate your possessions, and there are only two weapons that can be made available to you, how many of those weapons will you want to have on hand when the moment comes? Well, you want to have both. You'd want to have both weapons. Why would you not be as fully armed as possible for these conflicts to come? As I told the kids, we are bound to have conflict with Satan. I'll go a little more into the reasons for that situation in a little bit. And there are these two weapons. Now, some people read it as three weapons, but I think the correct reading is two. The third phrase in the verse is a consequence of the use of the two weapons, because you have the because in there twice. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, the first weapon. And because of the word of their testimony. And then the third phrase lacks the because. I believe it is evidence of the use of the first two weapons. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. Which is to say that they loved Jesus Christ more than their life. They would lay down their life rather than renounce Jesus Christ. And they could do this because they were covered by the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. Let's back up and hit this running. Let me start by talking about Satan a little bit. Sometimes I don't think we perceive the situation correctly. Well, a lot of people have the notion that Satan, we know he was an angel, we know he was in heaven, but that he was thrown out of heaven there about the third chapter of Genesis after that Adam and Eve episode. And I don't think that's the case when you really look at the Bible. But let's begin with Adam and Eve. God created them and pronounced them good, and Satan sought to tempt them, to cause them to stumble and fall. I will say, to show that they were not good, or to lead them into being not good. This is the first thing we find out about Satan. Now, that we run into him in a highly visual way again in the book of Job, which is to say we have gone from the creation in Genesis to about the time of Abraham, because Job is a contemporary of Abraham's. And we find Satan again, and he is now, at the time of Abraham, still in the courts of heaven. He has access to the throne of God. And he is arguing with God about Job. Because God says Job is a good man, a faithful man, a dedicated man. And Satan says, let me just show you how weak and fickle this Job is. Just let me show you that he's not the man you think he is. And Satan does roam the earth, it says, but he still has access to the throne of God in heaven. So he makes this argument in heaven, and he roams the earth to try to prove that he's right, tempting Job and causing him to stumble and fall, if he may. At the time of the creation with Adam and Eve, in the generation of Abraham, with Job. We move toward the very end of the Old Testament, about the time of the return of the Jews from the Babylonian captivity. And they have rebuilt the temple, and they have set up a new high priest. His name is Joshua. And we find Satan again, still with access to the throne of God, carrying on the very same argument. Look, look, he says, look at this Joshua. You think this man, this dirty, fallen, soiled human being, is worthy to represent his people as high priest and approach your glory? Satan argues in the presence of God against accepting Joshua, the high priest. He still has access to heaven. He still acts as an accuser of we men and women. Why would God put up with this, many people ask? If Satan has a long-running disagreement with God, if Satan roams the earth and causes mischief with Job and with Adam and with Eve, why would God put up with this? And I'm going to tell you that for Satan, as for us, as for everyone, the break point of our relationship with God is Jesus Christ. It is in accepting Jesus Christ as his Son and our Lord that we maintain our relationship with God. It is in rejecting Jesus Christ that we fracture, finally, our relationship with God. So I've told you what Satan is doing. He is accusing and prompting Adam and Eve to stumble. He accuses and prompts Job to stumble. He accuses and will cause to stumble, if he can, Joshua, the high priest. And when Jesus Christ becomes a human being and walks the earth as a man, what will Satan do? Read the first chapter of Mark and the fourth chapter of Matthew. He will tempt Jesus and cause him to fall, if he may. Try to prove that even Jesus will not obey God perfectly, will not subject his own will, now that he has a body of flesh and blood, to the will of God the Father. Tempts Jesus and seeks to prove these things. And when Jesus triumphs on that occasion, it says that Satan left him for a while, which is to say that he came back and he tried it again later. And even in Gethsemane, as Jesus struggled and prayed through that long night, seeking whether there might be some other way, I imagine Satan was there whispering in his ear, trying to persuade him of other ways that he might go other than to fulfill the plan of God. And Jesus triumphed again, concluding that evening with these words, "Not my will, thine be done." And as Jesus did not fall, Satan participated in the murder of the Son of God. The break point for anyone's relationship with God the Father is their relationship with Jesus, His Son. And if you read the entire 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, you will come to this understanding. When was Satan cast from heaven? At long last, cast from heaven? When he refused Jesus Christ. This is the final separation, the denial of access to heaven for Satan. And on the one hand, when you read that 12th chapter of Revelation, it says, this is great news in heaven. The kingdom of God advances. The power of God is shown, for the accuser who accused our brethren before God day and night has been cast down, and he no longer stands before God to do as he has always done. He stood before God and he pointed down and he said, that Jack Spencer, he's no good. You shouldn't love him. That Dave Schaefer, what a stinker. You should reject him. And that Terry Bailey, woohoo! But he can't do that now. Because following his rejection of Jesus Christ, he has been thrown from heaven. And this is good news, but here's the bad news. When he leaves heaven, he is now stuck here with us. And he is frantic and furious, for he knows that his time is short. So the conflict is inevitable. There is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. There is this liar, thief, and murderer who is totally opposed to us and who will ruin us for time and eternity if he may, and we must enter into the conflict with him. So we should enter armed and ready. And there are two weapons by which we may overcome him, and those are the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we must ask ourselves, are we armed for the conflict? Are you covered by the blood of the Lamb? You would think that in a place like this, the question need not be asked, but it is a real question. Jesus said, and it was one of the most frightening things to me that he ever said, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, there are people who are Christians because they are traditional Christians. There are people who are Christians because they are cultural Christians. There are people who call themselves Christians for reasons that are not always abundantly clear even to themselves, but those reasons do not include that they have submitted their lives, their souls, their time and eternity to Jesus Christ and made him absolute Lord of their lives. Even among those who would call him Lord. And so the question is a real question to ask of ourselves today. Are you covered by the blood? And if you are, then you are able to stand where otherwise you would fall. Because when Satan comes and points out your sins, shortcomings, and failures, and he will be right, he will be accurate about each one. But it does not mean your defeat, because the blood of Jesus Christ covers you. And all of that about which Satan is so correct doesn't matter anymore. And you need not fall. And you need not fear. Even should it come to death, and Paul said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And so if I must choose between Christ and continuing this life, the choice is easy. I choose Christ, for I am covered by His blood. And I know what He said to Mary and Martha concerning their brother Lazarus, though I die, yet shall I live. This sets me free and enables me to stand in contexts where I would otherwise fall, for I am covered by the blood of the Lamb. Second weapon, the word of our testimony. There is a moment in which we acknowledge the gospel. And then there are years through which we may live the gospel. And it is in these years that we establish the word of our testimony. It is important to me, for me, to live as though I value Jesus Christ more than money. Amen. It is important to me, for me, to live as though I value Jesus Christ more than comfort. Amen? It is important to me, for me, to live as though I value Jesus Christ more than power or position. Amen? If I live in such a way, this becomes the word of my testimony. Jesus Christ is everything to me. If I live, regardless of what I say, if I live as though money were really the thing, if I live as though comfort were really the thing that I care about, if I live as though power and position are really the things that are important to me, I want you to understand what I am doing. I am providing Satan with a handle. Because if money is really that important to me, he will tempt me with money. If comfort is really that important to me, he will tempt me with comfort. If power and position are really that important to me, he will tempt me with those things. And there are no sins, financial or otherwise, that the blood of Christ cannot cover. I acknowledge this. But if he can get me to pursue these things hard enough, long enough, steadfastly enough, I will have walked out from under the blood of Jesus Christ in my pursuit of money. It always comes down to a choice. Will I choose Jesus or will I choose this other thing? And if the word of my testimony is shaky and insecure, I provide Satan with a handle for luring me from underneath the blood of Jesus Christ. If I must face Satan, and I must, then I need to face him armed. And I have only these two weapons, the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. And I cannot afford to surrender either. And often, To surrender one is to surrender both. You agreed that you would prefer to face the bear armed. That you would prefer to face the burglar armed. Let me assure you, you prefer to face the devil armed. And here are your weapons. The blood of the Lamb. And the word of your testimony. And you are not armed if you have neglected either. But you can be armed and ready for the conflict.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.